WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello and welcome back to the 4th and Goal podcast, WVUA 90.7, the Capstones, number one podcast for college football. We have a lot to go over today. First off, I'm your host, Caden Johnson, joined by my co-hosts, Braden Friedman and Nicholas Elliott. We're going to get right into it today. Alabama and Tennessee, tough one for us as Alabama students to watch, but an all-time great game that everybody can at least appreciate. Braden, let's hear some thoughts right away.
I hate Tennessee, man. I hate them. I hate them even more than I did before. That game, being in Neyland Stadium, I don't know if you guys were in the stadium or went to Knoxville either, but it made it so much worse just watching everything unfold. That last field goal, all those mistakes, the interceptions, the dropped interceptions, and it just all just didn't come together that game in the last few drives, and especially that last one where there was some questionable where we probably should have ran the ball instead of went for three pass attempts. It's tough to do anything about it because it's hard to blame the offensive coordinator for a 52-49 game, but you got to run the ball.
Yeah, and sticking with you for a second, just because you were at the game, what can you say about like the atmosphere and stuff? I'm sure it was crazy.
That was the loudest game I've ever been to, yeah. And by far, like even like some of the like Bama LSU games last year, and then the A&M one this year. I mean, just like that place was so. I mean, as soon as that ball went through the uprights, like it looked like it was going in slow motion, and there was a pause before there was any crowd noise because like it was like maybe 3 feet over the field goal post.
Oh yeah.
And that place just erupted. It was,
yeah, I'm sure it was just as loud whenever we missed our shot at getting the 3-point lead there at the end. Nicholas, what are your thoughts from the game?
Yeah, just a slow start by Alabama. I mean, 28-10, getting off that slow start, they couldn't really get anything, but they got 28-24 going in the half. I mean, they got them right where they want them, got the lead late, but just could not convert, could not score off the turnovers. Got that interception by DeMarco Helms and couldn't score off that and just gave momentum right back to Tennessee. And then just the miscues, the penalties, just undisciplined football. I mean, they just got to get back to the drawing board and fix that going forward.
Yeah, and like touching on that interception from DeMarco Helms, that's probably one of the very few, maybe even like only things that our secondary did right for the most part of that game. I think one good thing that Alabama can take away from this is just the fact that they were able to come back from being down 28-10 against, I mean, unarguably one of the best teams in the country. Exactly. I think they just proved that their offense was explosive enough to hang in there with games in against teams like that. So
yeah, even being down 18, being able to come back, make it 20-28 at half, and then just slowly chipping away at it. We had the lead on the scoop and score. It just all didn't come together on the last couple drives.
Yeah, I thought the offense played a lot more better. You got to see more receivers show up, and Bryce probably had one of his best games. Was a warrior
of his career. Of his career, I'd say.
Yeah, and so did Cam Latu had a really good game too. Yeah. We haven't seen much of him.
That was refreshing to see.
He had a very good game.
Especially coming off that injury. He took a ton of hits, and he just kept going, kept fighting. I mean, that's a true warrior out there.
Yeah, I love seeing freshman receivers getting involved as well. Isaiah Bond, Kobe Prentice. They look good. Like, they look really good. Both of them are going to be a problem in years to come. Just the one thing that lets you know how good of a game this was, I feel like there was so many times in the game where, like, you would think, okay, it's over. All right, it's over. All right, this team's got it. It's over at this point. But every time you thought that, there would be some crazy surprise that turned you the other way. I think that just says a lot about how much of an all-time classic this was.
I thought for sure. After the scoop and score, and then
exactly
we were driving down the field. Bryce always clutch in the last. And then Will Reichert has been so good in those situations. Just maybe just a little the wrong lineup for him, 50 yards. It's tough to ask a college kicker to make a 50-yard field goal, especially under that much you know, on the line, then obviously one thing that we can work on is stopping tempo offense. Like, tempo offense was our problem last year with Texas A&M. Tempo offense, it got our secondary slow and allowed for lots and lots of explosive plays. There were a lot of plays that Tennessee had for more than 40 yards.
You couldn't apply any pressure either. I mean, the defense had to play coverage the whole time. I mean, the linebackers were playing coverage most of the time. Couldn't rotate linemen at all. It was just couldn't get pressure on Hendon Hooker. He had time.
Yeah, that hurry-up offense made it seem like our secondary had cold feet or had concrete on their feet. Jalen Hyatt, you know, obviously just kind of blew past everybody for the entirety of the game. I thought Hendon Hooker did a really good job of, you know, being someone that hasn't necessarily proven that they can win, like, huge games like that. I think Hendon Hooker did a good job in his first, like, biggest game of his life, you know, came in and just, I mean, exceeded expectations, if anything. It was really crazy. He played an amazing game, though, I thought.
Yeah,
he
did a very good job of scrambling out of the pocket and finding receivers, even with pressure from Alabama's D-line, or when there was blitzes, it seemed like he was always finding a way to at least throw the ball away. He wasn't going down.
Yeah, especially one takeaway I had is that Tennessee was able to run the ball very well. I mean, 6 or 7 yards a carry. I mean, Alabama had to respect the run, so they could not just play, sit down and play coverage the whole time. They had to still respect the box, or else Tennessee would just pass it all over them.
Yeah, rough game. I mean, it was a great game, but it's just, God, it's one of those that'll haunt Alabama for years. It's due to happen at some point. Obviously, you know, you can't beat Tennessee every year. It's Tennessee's first win against Alabama in a very, very, very long time. But we do have to move on, even though it was an all-time classic game, unfortunately. Next biggest game of the day was Michigan and Penn State, and this one was not an all-time classic like Alabama and Tennessee was. Michigan absolutely destroyed Penn State. I'm pretty sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, 41-17 maybe?
It was in the 40s.
It was something like that, yeah. And I mean, it was only close because Penn State got a pick six. It was only close in the first half for that reason, too. Michigan dominated the game. You knew Michigan was going to win essentially the whole game. Either of y'all got any words on that?
Yeah, I mean, J.J. McCarthy only had 145 on passing. I mean, when you combine 400 yards rushing, I mean, you really don't need to especially being a freshman QB, I mean, didn't have to rely on him too much. And that defense, the defense still proves, I mean, defense wins championships. Michigan played defense. Sean Clifford, they could not get their offense moving at all.
Yeah, no, Michigan looked really... They looked really strong. Their defense looked really good. Their offense, obviously, that many yards. Wow. Put up that many points against a team as good as Penn State. I think being at home helped them a lot. I thought that Penn State was going to maybe even win that game before the game, but once that game started, you knew the whole time that Michigan was going to be in control. It felt like Michigan was in control for most of the game. So.
Yeah, dang, what did the picks look like last week? Did we all three pick Penn State?
I had Michigan.
Okay, Nick. Michigan, yeah. So Nick had Michigan. Yeah, speaking of the pick-ups, we'll get to that later. That is rough week for the picks for the boys. But touching back on Michigan, I think there's a lot of these top-tier teams now, Michigan, even Penn State's kind of like it too, Ole Miss, that are really focusing on this run game. Michigan's running attack is absolutely crazy. You know, you got Blake Corum that's really making like a decent case for Heisman even, and then you have Donovan Edwards, just a sophomore that exploded for 173 yards, 2 touchdowns that game. Corum added 166 and 2 touchdowns as well. That is something you don't see a lot at all, especially from a team with a dual threat quarterback as well. JJ McCarthy tacked on 57 rushing yards. I mean, just an abysmal defensive performance against Penn State. They could not stop the run at all. Blake Corum, he's starting to climb up the Heisman boards a lot. What do you guys think about his Heisman chances this year?
Yeah, I think he's got a good chance to end up in New York. I don't know if he's going to win it this year. I mean, now, especially now. I mean, we haven't had a running back win it seems like in forever. But I think he's got a good chance to make his case for New York.
Yeah, he's definitely got a shot. Obviously, now Hendon Hooker with the win against Alabama on his resume is going to look very good for his Heisman odds. But, yeah, I could definitely see him being in that finalist group at the end of the year. You know, there's a lot of season left where anything can happen. But as long as he stays healthy and puts up consistent numbers, I think he'll be in there.
All right, moving on. We're going over the Big 12 now. Not the biggest game, but it is a big team. Oklahoma quiets the Kansas hype with a big win against the Jayhawks. What do you guys think OU's ceiling is after this win? Do you think that this is kind of like a turning point in their season and maybe they can kind of salvage it, maybe go 8-4 and even potentially 9-3, best case scenario? What do you guys think?
I think that they have good potential to go 8-4. I don't think the team has enough to really bounce back that much, but maybe they prove me wrong. They look so sloppy against TCU and Texas, which seem to be the two favorites to be in the Big 12 championship at this point in the year. But obviously that win against Kansas is good to quieting the hype, just like it says. But I think that their ceiling probably is coming up a little I think I could see them coming up a little short of making that championship game, especially with Oklahoma State being in that good too. So that's just what I think.
Yeah, I think their ceiling, I mean, I think that 7-5, 8-4, that's probably where they'll be, maybe 6-6. It just depends on Dylan Gabriel staying healthy. They're going to be in shootouts all year. Their defense is not very good this year. Brent Venables hasn't been able to get his guys in yet. So I think their ceiling at 7 or 8 wins, get them to a nice bowl game, and then just finish the season strong on Venables' first year.
Yeah, and it's definitely not not a lack of talent problem for OU. It's more just so meshing with the coaches. I think we can all agree with that. Yeah. It's a new system. There's going to be some growing pains. And, I mean, the Big 12 is pretty competitive this year. I think everybody can admit that. There's not really an easy week in the Big 12 for these teams having to play each other. We talked a little bit last week about how this league is unfortunately maybe the most realistic scenario is that they play themselves out of the playoffs, which there could be, moving into our next segment, a team that wins out and does make some real playoff noise. That is TCU. Is TCU your guys' pick to win the Big 12? Like, are they the definitive favorite right now?
I think right now on paper, I think they are, just with the wins they've put up, but down the road, it's going to be tough. I know in the future they have to go to Texas. I mean, I still think that Big 12 runs through either Kansas State or Texas. Go ahead and the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously, like you said, on paper, being undefeated looks really good right now. Going into Texas is, especially with Texas being as good as they are, it's going to be really tough for them to come out with a win. It's definitely possible, but on paper, they're the favorites. I think right now, Texas is Vegas' favorite to win the Big 12. But, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got Max Duggan, sorry, that is playing, I mean, just as good as almost any quarterback in the country.
Yeah.
The offense is killer. You know, Nick picked his player of the week last week, Quentin Johnson. Or Johnston, the wide receiver from TCU. He had another really good game. He really could have been someone's player of the week again this week.
Mm-hmm.
Moving into our last recap game of the day here, we got Utah upsetting USC. I think a couple of us called that last week, right? All right, well, that's at least one game that we won last week. Utah upsets USC. USC has looked really sloppy in a lot of these games lately against Pac-12 teams. You just kind of got the feeling that it was going to happen at some point. What do you think they can do to fix that going forward?
I mean, that was probably one of their best offensive performances. I saw K.O. Williams. I mean, he looked very good. They were able to get up and down the field. I mean, just their penalties. They had a lot of penalties on third down when Utah to stay on the field and just keep rushing the ball. I mean, their defense is not very good. They're going to have to rely on their offense probably the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think their offense is going to be their major focal point for the season. Obviously, another game that really came down to last play, but I think that USC has a lot of potential to win the Pac-12 still with one loss, with UCLA going to Oregon this week. But I think that if they work on cleaning up their play a little bit, that just kind of being a focal point of what they work on. Their offense needs to be good. Their defense is their weaker side, but they can get past that if their offense is clicking like it was last week.
Yep, I agree. USC's offense is obviously one of the most talented in the country. They have Mario Williams, they have Jordan Addison, they have Caleb Williams, they have Travis Dye. I mean, the team is absolutely stacked. They're unarguably one of the top 10 or so offenses in the country, maybe even more like top 5. I think that they will bounce back. I think that they will have a really successful season. I could easily see them going 10-2, and best case scenario, obviously 11-1, and getting back into that Pac-12 championship game. And I mean, I wouldn't say that their college football playoff hopes are dead. What do you guys think about that? Is there still a chance? They're obviously going to need some help.
I think that as a Pac-12 team, with there being the potential for there being 4 11-1 SEC teams at this point of the year, that still being a very good possible chance of that happening, I think that a team in the Pac-12 has to win out. But, I mean, a lot can happen. I think that there's a chance if they win out and go to the Pac-12 championship that they could find their way in number 4. Just other circumstances would have to happen to other teams for that to happen.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, on paper, the Pac-12, I mean, it gets a lot of hate for other bit because they haven't put a team in the playoffs. But I think Pac-12 was probably the second best conference this year, I'd say, on paper at least. I mean, 4 ranked teams in the top 25,
It's close. It's close. They're definitely competitive. They're competing more this year than they have in other years.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of really good teams, USC, UCLA. Basically your normal Pac-12 stuff, a lot of high-powered offenses. But Oregon getting throttled by Georgia like they did really hurts. I feel like as much as it hurts Georgia, it also hurts the rest of the Pac-12, and I feel like it'll also hurt other Pac-12 teams when they're being considered for playoff spots over other teams, just seeing what these Pac-12 teams look like when they match up against top dogs from other conferences. It's going to be tough for USC to get in. I don't think they control their own destiny anymore. What do you think, Braden?
Yeah, I think it's all they have to win out, and it's all if other teams – they have to rely on other teams losing for them to find a spot in.
Yeah, and like we talked about a second ago, they are definitely not – they are definitely going to need TCU to slip up one of these weeks. All right, so moving into the next segment, we got our top performers of the week. I'll go ahead and get us kicked off. I have Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU, of course, 23 for 32, 349 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and followed it up with 44 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns as well as LSU took down the Gators in the Swamp. I give extra points for winning at Florida. I feel like that is unarguably a top 5 atmosphere in college football. Anybody, any quarterback or any person that can go in there and take a win as convincing as LSU did against Florida, they get a lot of credit from me. I thought this was Jaden Daniels' best performance by far since he's had on an LSU uniform. And LSU, hey, they're really, really inconsistent, but they're looking up, obviously, going into a really big game this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. My top performer of the week, someone had to do it. Jalin Hyatt, 6 receptions, 205 yards, maybe 206, somewhere around there. And then the 5 touchdowns, I mean – he had 6 catches, 5 touchdowns.
He did the Randy Moss style line, but better.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they're just all these, like, 50-yard. I mean, they were just – he had all the time that there was an explosive play, it just seemed to go right into his hands. Yeah, it's
– yeah, that's how you beat Alabama.
It's explosive plays. It's like you're not going to beat Alabama if you're just going to run, you know, slow plays that for gains of 4 – eventually someone's going to hit you hard enough or you're going to throw an interception. But when you're throwing deep balls like that and tempo offense, it just burns out the secondary, and that's exactly what they did.
Yep, and it seems like over these past few years, any team that's pulled off the big upset against Alabama or a top dog like that, you need someone on your team to have the game of their life, and that's what Jalin Hyatt did. All right, moving on. Nick, who you got?
I got two players. They're both on the same team. I have Cameron Rising from Utah. He had 415 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and he had 3 rushing touchdowns. And also tight end out of Utah, Dalton Kincaid, who had 16 receptions, 234 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, I want to say it was win. It was like it was like the most yards that a tight end's had maybe for Utah in a game before. It was some record. It was crazy.
That was just a track meet of a game.
Yep. All right, next segment we have the conference championship predictions. We're a little bit over halfway into the season. It's time to really start focusing on who's going to be playing in these conference championship games, with obviously huge, huge playoff implications on all of them, starting off with the SEC. I have the rematch of the game that we have been talking about all day today. I have the rematch of Tennessee and Alabama. The Tennessee and Georgia game is going to be so competitive, but I just feel like Tennessee's the better team right now. Alabama has Ole Miss. They have Mississippi State this weekend. They have a couple of tests, but I do like Alabama bouncing back and playing Tennessee for the SEC championship. Braden, what you got?
I think Bama's going to play Tennessee again, as good as Georgia is. Georgia's also been very inconsistent. Tennessee hasn't been inconsistent. It's just been whether the fact if they were for real or not. And they proved that they were for real when they beat Alabama and LSU back-to-back weeks, with scoring 40 points in both those games at least. So their offense is for real. It's just whether or not that Georgia brings out the team that they brought against Missouri or the team that they brought out against Oregon, South Carolina, and
Great
Auburn.
Great point.
Yeah, I'm gonna have an Alabama-Georgia rematch, part three of the from the last year. I just think Georgia is just going to continue just to roll. I mean, their defense will come up big for them, especially at home. They'll have their fans. It's not like they're going in 100,000 fans and kneeling, screaming, hating them. They got their fans on their side. I mean, Stetson Bennett, he'll have probably one of his best games this year. I mean, he hasn't had a good year, but I think this game will really just continue momentum of that program.
Yep, Tennessee does have to go to Athens for that. That's a pretty big note. All right, next up we got the Pac-12. This one took me forever to decide, guys. It was so hard to decide on this one. This is another conference where it just seems like there is so many of the teams in the top tier. It feels like they could just all beat each other up and all be in this big three-way tie. Of course, the Pac-12 got rid of divisions this year, so it's just straight up the two best teams in the conference. And even though I don't really know if these are the two best teams in the conference, I have it playing out to where Utah will take on the Oregon Ducks in the Pac-12 championship. No UCLA, no USC, I know, it's crazy. But I am a little bit higher on Oregon. I think they've got a lot better throughout the season. I think that they get a big win this weekend and even potentially win out. What do you think, Braden?
I think that Oregon is definitely going to find their way in. They have UCLA at home this week, which certainly won't be an easy game, but Austin Stadium at home, I mean, that place is one of the toughest places to play. UCLA will be with a challenge. I have a feeling that it's going to come down to the winner of the UCLA-USC game.
Yeah.
The who goes in. Obviously, Utah looks really good too, but I just think it – I want to see Oregon-UCLA, but I think it's going to be Oregon-USC. I think USC and Oregon, we're going to see a rematch of the two Pac-12 heavyweights for the last, I don't know how many years.
A big note is that Oregon and USC actually do not play each other in the regular season. So that is that helps both of them, you know, obviously, for their chances.
Yeah, I think this weekend game will be part one of two, and I think it'll be Oregon and UCLA. They'll play each other in the Pac-12. This will just be a preview game. I think Oregon, we'll save those for the picks later. But I think Oregon, I mean, Bo Nix has probably had one of his best years as a college player this year.
Oh,
really,
easily, yeah.
Really putting himself back out there. I mean, after all the hate he's been getting for his inconsistencies in the big games, I mean, they've got a great offense. And, I mean, under the first year of Dan Lanning, I mean, he's having them play great ball, and they've got some great wins recently.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon, since the Georgia game, has done like a complete 180. And, you know, a lot of that is just because it's Bo Nix against Georgia, and you know how that goes most of the time. Next up, we got the Big Ten. I feel like this one is pretty chalk. It's not the hardest one to decide on for me personally. I do think Michigan is better than I thought they were originally. They proved that to me this weekend. But I still like the Buckeyes to get their get back. so to speak, and beat Michigan this year in that big game. And then from the other division in the Big Ten, I have the Fighting Illini. I think they have had a really good year as far as Illinois standards. You know, they're ranked, and I feel like they deserve to be ranked. But it's, I just don't think it's too much of a challenge. Big Ten, speaking of the Pac-12 getting rid of divisions, Big Ten needs to. Really bad. I know the ACC is doing it next year. Big Ten really needs to. It is absolutely ridiculous to have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State in the same division.
Yeah.
And Michigan State, too. Braden, what do you think?
I think just it's going to be Ohio State against Illinois. Although Michigan could be for real and beat Ohio State, they just have struggled against Ohio State a lot over the last 10 years, and they're really going to have to pull something up. It's going to be the winner of the Michigan-Ohio State game playing Illinois.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to be a little different. I'm going to have Ohio State, but it'll be against Purdue in the Big Ten championship. I really like Aiden O'Connell. He's a really good quarterback for Purdue. They got a great offense. I think they'll upset Illinois when they play them towards the end of the year, and then
yeah, they got to go to Illinois to play that game. That'll be a good one. That'll be a big time game.
Mm-hmm. And then Ohio State, they have a home field against Michigan in the Horseshoe. I think that they got to start a new streak again, just beating Michigan.
Pick up right where they left off.
Yeah, and then Ohio State Penn State game next week. I mean, stuff gets crazy and at Penn State, and you never know what's going to happen. Even after their bad performance last week, I mean,
is this a whiteout game coming up for Penn State? Will it be? You think?
It might be. It's
I know they're pretty selective.
11 a.m. kick.
Yeah,
so it might
that
be.
Is true. That is true. They're pretty selective with their whiteout games at Penn State. But yeah, I think going back to the Big Ten West talk, I think just having the Big Ten West is so bad that they cannot afford for Wisconsin to have a down year like they are this year.
Yeah.
When Wisconsin has a down year, the Big Ten West gets a little bit sketchy. It's pretty rough out there.
You already got two coaching changes also
Big
Ten West.
Yeah.
That is crazy. And then, of course, you know, Iowa, who's 3-3 record, but I mean, probably one of the worst Division I offenses I've ever seen in my life. And that is not an exaggeration at all.
They have not looked good on offense. Their defense has really been what's kept them in games, but their offense is just
it's hard to watch. Yeah. All right, next up we got Big 12, really competitive conference. I like a lot of the high-end teams in the Big 12. As you guys know, too, I am high on Texas, but I do not have Texas making it with as high as I am on them. I have TCU taking on Oklahoma State in a rematch of the double overtime game we saw last week.
I think we're going to see a battle of the blood orange. I think it's going to be Texas against Oklahoma State. As much as I'd love to see TCU go, it's going to be really tough for TCU to go into Texas and beat them. And then TCU may drop another game. But if TCU stays consistent, then they're going to find their way in that championship. But I think right now Texas-Oklahoma State is probably the most likely based on what I've seen.
Yeah, they actually play in Stillwater this weekend, as you guys probably know. So, Nick, what do you got?
Man, it's hard. I mean, they're all just going to be beating each other up, just looking at each of the schedules. They all play – the top four teams all still play each other, I mean, coming up. I mean, I think it might just have to go Texas and TCU battle of the Texas teams.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
That could definitely happen. Yeah.
A great thing about this conference is that really any combination you throw out there should really be a competitive game. I think a lot of these teams are very similar and very equal to each other.
I mean, we can just go through the schedule. I mean, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, that's coming up next week. And then you got, I mean, still this week, Texas, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, TCU. I mean, they're all just going to be – it's going to be an absolute bloodbath coming down to the end.
Yeah, every week from this point on is a huge week in the Big 12. There's going to be big games every week.
Probably see multiple tiebreakers having to come into place late.
Yeah, I could definitely see that too. All right, last Power 5 conference, we got the ACC. Another one that I feel like is pretty chalk, not the hardest conference to predict. Obviously, out of the Atlantic, I got Clemson. I do think that Syracuse and Wake Forest are both solid teams. But on the other end, I like North Carolina out of the Coastal. I feel like that one is pretty should probably be unanimous between all of us. This is another case like the Big Ten where it's like, wow, I mean, thankfully they are getting rid of the divisions next year, because having Clemson, Syracuse, Wake Forest, Florida State, NC State, I mean, you could even make the case that those are the five best teams in the conference, all in the same division. But yeah, Braden, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Battle of the Carolinas. I think it's going to be Clemson against UNC. I think it's gonna come down. I think Clemson may end up dropping the game to UNC, but I think that they're gonna play each other.
Wow, that's a pretty hot take right out the jump.
It is a hot take, but that's what podcasts are for.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, pretty chalky. I mean, Clemson got through their little gauntlet. They beat Wake Forest. I mean, Florida State and NC State. I mean, handled business in all three. And Syracuse coming off. I mean, they're 6-0, probably their best start in a while. And UNC, Drake May has been unbelievable as a quarterback for UNC. I mean, he's probably put himself maybe in New York if he keeps this up.
Yeah, if not this year, at some point in his career. I mean, he is a beast. I can admit that.
Yeah, May has been very good for them.
But I'm really disappointed in Miami. Everybody was high on them, especially Tyler Van Dyke.
Yeah,
they have just
been good this year.
Yeah, it's just – it's really crazy to see a Miami team like this it's not crazy to see a Miami team underperform, at least not recently, but with as hyped as that offense was with Tyler Van Dyke being, I mean, on everybody's first-round draft board, they have just not looked good at all. And it's been – a lot of it has been their offense. Their offense has just been pretty putrid. You saw how bad they played against Texas A&M. Yeah, I think Miami is definitely just kind of sad and falling off at this point. Pittsburgh started decent, really matched up well with Tennessee, and then they've kind of disappointed too with a really bad loss to Georgia Tech. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. Moving into our next week's predictions, we have a huge week ahead of us. And we're going to start it off with our underdog. Who do y'all got? Who's y'all's dogs of the week? Let's hear them.
I know that this one, I think that LSU is going to beat Ole Miss. I think that going into to Death Valley, LSU, I think that LSU comes out with that win against Ole Miss. I thought Auburn was really going to maybe have a chance to pull it out against Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss usually kind of falls off right around here every year.
Yep.
I think that this is a game right around where they fall off.
So crazy enough, LSU is actually favored to win that game. But I'm going to give it to you because it is an underdog. You have an unranked team favored against the number 7 team in the country that's undefeated. That is absolutely insane.
I definitely
would personally consider it an upset if LSU were to win, and I feel like everybody else in the country would. So I'm definitely giving you that one. Go ahead, Nick.
Kansas State is going to go into Fort Worth and take down the TCU Horned Frogs.
Wow, that's a good one.
Adrian Martinez has probably had one of the most surprising years so far. I mean, no interceptions through 7 games. I mean,
yeah, that's amazing.
Amazing for him being a transfer quarterback. I mean, they got, I mean, Adrian Martinez, Deuce Vaughn. They got a solid team.
Yeah,
in Manhattan,
really good running attack there between the two of them. As well. I think we talk about Tyler Van Dyke underwhelming. I think Adrian Martinez, you could make the case as the most improved. Overperforming. Yeah, yeah, improved. Yeah, that's definitely for sure. All right, my dog of the week. I know it has not happened since this team has joined the SEC, but I like South Carolina to take the win over Texas A&M, primetime 6:30. South Carolina at home. We've seen it's shaky Texas A&M team that plays. They play up to their good opponents, and then they play down, and I mean really down to their lesser opponents, i.e. App State.
Spencer Rattler has not really had one of his good years.
Yeah, mm-mm. No.
Shaky, 8 interceptions. But, I mean, Williams-Brice Stadium will be rocking.
Exactly.
Sandstorm will be playing.
I like it, too, because they're coming off the bye. They have an extra week. Yeah. And right before that bye, they took down Kentucky at Kentucky.
They got some momentum.
So, yeah, I like South Carolina. I want to say that they are 0-8 against A&M since joining the SEC. They haven't beat them. So I think it's just like Alabama and Tennessee, like we talked about. At some point, it has to happen. You know, you can't just win them all. I do like South Carolina this week. All right, moving into our pick 'em, we're going to go over seven games as we did last week, and we're going to preview them all. Looking at the standings here, you have me and Braden tied for last with 2-5. 2-5, not a great start. And then you have Nick at 3-4. How does it feel to just absolutely own us, Nick, with your impressive 3-4 record?
I mean, it feels lonely at the top. That's all I can say.
It feels lonely up there. I got a lot more company down at the bottom.
Yeah. Nicholas is missing out on the 2-5 club.
He's missing out on all the fun.
Yeah. All right. Starting it off with one of the biggest games of the year in the ACC, Clemson's last real test of their gauntlet. The 14th-ranked Orange go to Death Valley to take on the 5th-ranked Clemson in the morning, 11 a.m. game. Who do you guys like in this one?
I think Clemson's going to steamroll them.
Wow.
I think their Syracuse's Cinderella story is going to be coming to an end. I love Sean Tucker, but I think that defensive line for Clemson is just going to be stout and just stop the run, and they're not going to – especially, I mean, it's called Death Valley. I think they're going to die in Death Valley.
Sean Tucker will not be pleased with that performance.
Sean Tucker will die in Death Valley. I think that Clemson is going to win. Because it's an 11 a.m. game, I think that both offenses are going to start off relatively slow in the first half. I could see it being close at the beginning. I think Clemson's going to pull away kind of like each possession towards the end. Maybe like Syracuse starts kicking field goals and Clemson scoring touchdowns, like eventually starts pulling away by maybe 14-17. But I don't think they're going to get steamrolled.
Yeah, I don't either. I like Syracuse, and I'm not just saying that because I like Syracuse's Sean Tucker or Garrett Schrader. I actually do think that this Syracuse team is a good and competitive team. It's tough. I want to say Clemson's won like 37 straight games at home. It is ridiculous how many home games they've won in a row and the success they've had there. I think that, just like Braden said, I think that was a great point. I think it's going to be a lot lower scoring than some people would like to think. I do think that Syracuse keeps it close for the first half. We might see like even a Syracuse lead at halftime, but I do eventually have Clemson pulling away. Picked against Clemson last week, picked them to get upset last week. That didn't happen. So I'm going to stick with them this week. I think they get the win at home. Not by as much as Nick thinks, though. I like Clemson by maybe 10, 14-ish. I think Syracuse keeps it respectable. All right.
DJ has had a bounce back year. I mean, people want him benched for their freshman Cave Klubnik, but he has quieted all the haters.
Oh, he definitely has. Yeah. He's really tapping into that potential that everybody saw in him.
And his freshman after that Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. He's looked really good. And I will say this too: if he continues that good performance and Clemson's defense fixes some small things like closing out games, I think Clemson's biggest thing right now is they need to get better at closing out games. It's like Florida State. They just let teams play their way back in. Yeah. Saw the same type of thing with Wake Forest. But if Clemson fixes that stuff and DJ stays hot, Clemson could win the national championship. I feel like that is their ceiling this year. Yeah. So moving into the 2:30 slot, we have the 7th-ranked Ole Miss going into the other Death Valley and playing LSU Tigers. This is a good one. LSU is favored, which is absolutely wild. I wonder like how many other games like this have seen an unranked team going against an undefeated top 10 ranked team and be favored. That is crazy.
I when we were picking underdogs, I picked LSU. I didn't even look at what Vegas had said about.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just assumed that LSU was an underdog.
Going off that, I mean, I think LSU is going to have a big signature win for Brian Kelly in his first year. I mean, it's all about how they start the game. They have not started the games off well. I mean, the last week they did. They scored almost every drive against Florida. I mean, they had a good start. Started off with a touchdown their opening drive. I mean, something they haven't been able to do.
Yep.
And I think Ole Miss has not played in any tough environments yet. They played Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech.
They almost lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Most of their crowd kept it close in the first half.
Most of that crowd was probably in blue. And I think Ole Miss. I mean, LSU is going to have to stop the run. I mean, Jackson Dart. It's probably going to be about how he. handles that. I mean, if he's just got to be able to throw the ball. I think if Ole Miss were to win this game, Jackson Dart's going to have to win it with his arm.
Yeah, I think that's, as of right now, the way to play against Ole Miss is make Jackson Dart throw the ball. I don't think he's proved that they can win a game with him throwing the ball yet this year.
I think LSU will win and have the tiebreaker over Ole Miss, and I think the SEC West is going to come down to that Alabama-LSU game in Death Valley in 2 weeks.
Wow, nice. Okay, so I think this Ole Miss situation is a lot like the USC situation we were talking about earlier. You've played so many close games. You have to slip up at some point. This isn't good because us all three picking LSU means that Ole Miss will win by 30.
Yep.
But I am rocking with the Tigers. Go Tigers this week. I do like LSU in this one. It feels like all year I've been – you can get high on LSU and then you can get really low on LSU. But right now I'm high on them after seeing them get that big win in the Swamp. I do like LSU to handle Ole Miss their first loss of the year this year.
I mean, Coach O still left that team with tons of talent, tons of five stars. I mean, I don't think they can go 9-3, 8-4. I mean, that's a really good year for Brian Kelly. He's getting recruiting well down there. I mean, he's fitting in with the people, especially with that accent. And I think they're going to be rolling.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, definitely. And now that you've mentioned the Fairs, there's this famous saying, Vegas always knows, and they obviously know something that we all...
They got the script.
They have the script, and then they know something that we don't about both those teams, so...
Yep. Sticking in the afternoon slate, we have 2:30 game, 20th-ranked Texas Longhorns going to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. I touched a little bit on this game earlier. When I said that I think Oklahoma State will actually make it to the Big 12 championship. But contrary to that, I do think Texas wins this game. I have Texas winning on the road, but I do have Texas slipping up later in the year, hence why I still have Oklahoma State in my conference championship game. But I do like Texas in this one. It just seems like these teams always are in a really tough battle whenever they play each other. But I think that this Texas team is different with Quinn Ewers. And I think that Oklahoma State is going to be a little bit down after that just tough, embarrassing loss to TCU last week where they blew a 17-point lead. What do you guys think about this one?
I think that the water in Stillwater is going to be choppy water, and the Longhorns are going to come in and make the win that they need to get. And I think that I know I had Texas Oklahoma State as I think that TCU is going to fall off at some point. I think their offense looks really good. It's just teams got like that just no one really had thoughts on the beginning of the year to be as good as they were. Is they usually fall off at some point, and I think TCU is going to fall off. Maybe this week, maybe next week. So at some point, they're going to drop a game or two, and it's going to be up to Texas and Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with that. I think Texas is going to come in there. They had a shaky performance against Iowa State last week. They did not really look good. Quinn Ewers did not look his best, but I think Oklahoma State's coming off that really bad fourth quarter performance and that tough overtime loss. I think Texas is going to come in and Sark's going to have them ready. And I think Oklahoma State's defense is not as good as it was, especially after their DC left last year to go to Ohio State. And I just think Texas is just going to go in there and win.
Yep. All right, so sticking with the 2:30 slate, we have 9th-ranked UCLA at Oregon. This is where game day is going to be. Probably the biggest game of the day. Believe it or not, there's playoff implications in a UCLA-Oregon game. So that is pretty crazy to see. I feel like this is another big test to really see if UCLA is elite or not, if they're going to take that next step. I don't think they get by this one, though. I like Oregon at home. Bo Nix has looked really good since the Georgia game. I think UCLA is finally going to fold this week. And I like Oregon in a really close one, though.
I've from experience, I've been to Autzen Stadium before. And to be able to say that UCLA is going to come out of a packed house, you know, game that could be potentially the Pac-12 championship, you know, down the road, UCLA just isn't going to come away with the win there. That place is just it gets too loud, and it's going to be close. I think that UCLA is going to make a lot of the same mistakes that Alabama made this weekend, and it's just going to end up going in Oregon's favor.
Yeah, I think Bo Nix is going to have one of his big games. But Chip Kelly, it is a revenge spot for him coming back to his old stopping grounds in Oregon. But I think Bo Nix is just going to keep him rolling. I think DTR is going to have not one of his best performances. He's going to struggle with the crowd. But I think this is part one of two. I think Oregon's going to win the first one, and then coming down in Las Vegas, the Pac-12 championship, it'll be a closer game.
All right, moving into our night slate. We have 6 o'clock. I think maybe all of us will be at this one. Mississippi State at Alabama. Big, big bounce back week for Bama. They're going to be pissed. You got a Mississippi State team that's underperformed the last couple of weeks. I like Bama in this one, and it seems like every time these teams play at Alabama, it goes Alabama's way, and Alabama's way by a lot on top of that. So I do like Alabama in this one, and I like Alabama by maybe even 3 touchdowns in this one.
Yeah, you know, an Alabama team after a loss is scarier than an 11-0 Alabama team going into the final game of the year. They're going to be coming back hungry to prove themselves, prove that they are better than they were ranked, and they have something to prove now to their playoff spot and Ole Miss, and they have something to prove that they now can't just walk past everyone. They're getting a lot of hate from the critics saying that this isn't a Nick Saban type of team, and they're making all these mistakes and stuff. Is that last year they said the same stuff to Georgia. Nick Saban was like, this is all the rat poison we needed. Usually it's the
rat poison.
The negative rat poison. I think the rat poison towards Alabama is just going to motivate them so much more than they already were to come back and prove themselves on the revenge tour.
Yeah, the air raid has not been successful against Nick Saban. I mean, Mississippi State has not scored a touchdown in Bryant Denny since 2014.
And wow.
I don't think a Mike Leach coach team has scored a touchdown against Nick Saban either in their past 2 games.
I did not know that. That is actually
wild. Crazy fact.
I think Alabama's just going to go in there. Big game from Bryce Young. I think Ja'Cory Brooks is going to have a big game. Jahmyr Gibbs, everybody's going to be eaten. Defense is going to get back. Will Anderson will have a big game. And I just think Tide's going to roll.
Yep.
Yeah, they're gonna come back.
I still can't get over that stat. That stat is wild.
That is a wild stat. They haven't scored a touchdown in Bryant Denny that long.
And they play every other year there. So
since Dak Prescott, since Mississippi State was the number one team in the country.
Okay, so let me think. So that's crazy. Nick Fitzgerald was after Dak, right? Yep. And he was good. Nick Fitzgerald was a good quarterback too. I want to say that Nick might have even broke some of Dak's records while he was there. That is just nuts.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is. All right. 6:30, we got Minnesota at Penn State. Bounce back week for Penn State, potentially, I think. This is a really inconsistent and weird Minnesota team. A lot of people were high on them. They had a couple of bad losses. But this is also a Penn State team that everybody was high on, including us, a week ago, and just got thwomped by Michigan. I do think that Penn State gets a big win in this one, though. I think they get back on track. I don't think that they are a playoff contending team, but I do think that they are a good team. I think they're probably a top 15 or so team. I think they get back on track with a good week win this week at home against Minnesota.
I also think Penn State is going to bounce back. I think we're going to have a lot of similar picks, really. Most of our picks the last, you know, I think we've all had the same picks.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I think that Penn State is not going to let Minnesota beat them after dropping that game to Michigan. They're going to come back at a home game, obviously. Beaver Stadium, one of probably the loudest stadium in college football. It's just, you're just not going to come out of that place with a win unless someone has to have the game of their life. Like you said, someone has to beat Alabama. They have to have the game of their life. Someone on Minnesota has to have the game of their life. They're going to beat Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota's been shaky. They've had some good wins, some bad losses. But, I mean, after checking back earlier from what we said, this is Penn State's wideout game, and that stadium's going to be rocking, I think.
It is a Penn State wideout game.
Penn State's going to roll.
Penn State by 3 touchdowns then. At that point.
No chance.
Wow. All right, so moving into our last game of the night here, one of the biggest games of the day, just right behind UCLA and Oregon. big game in the Big 12. Again, another weird game with playoff implications. We have the 17th ranked Kansas State going to Fort Worth to take on 8th ranked TCU. This is a really big one for TCU. If TCU wins this game, they are really climbing, man. And if they get some help this week from LSU, they can climb even higher in the rankings if Ole Miss gets taken down. I like TCU in this one. I think they keep rolling. So I like the Horned Frogs getting another win.
I think that TCU has climbed their mountain as their potential for as far as this season goes. I think that they are going to drop this one to Kansas State. I think it's going to be really close. Just with that comeback win against Oklahoma State and then Oklahoma even being a close game, as big as the lead they had, I think just at some point that they're going to drop one. I think that I see them dropping this one. I see them dropping the one to Texas. And I see it's going to be one of those things that comes down the end of the year where I think a lot of teams in the Big Ten are going to be 10-2. And earlier I was really high riding on Oklahoma State. Now after seeing them blow that lead, I lost a lot of my confidence in them. So
yeah.
I'm taking Kansas State in this one.
Yeah, I'd agree with Braden. I like the Wildcats in this one. That's my underdog of the week. The Dogs will be barking in Fort Worth. I think Adrian Martinez will continue his great season. I think him and Deuce Vaughn are both going to have big games. I mean, TCU's defense has been a little shaky, especially these past two games against Kansas. I mean, both good offenses. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, though. Max Duggan, Quentin Johnston, they're going to be connecting for a lot of big plays, and I think it's going to come down to the last possession.
Good. All right. So I'm different then. That separates me. So that means
one different pick.
I'll catch up to Nicholas after TCU wins that one, hopefully.
Or you're going to be
sitting
at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting at the bottom.
Another 2-5 week would be just amazing. Rough week last week in Pick'em, but we're looking to bounce back this week. That'll wrap up our show for us today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm your host, Caden Johnson.
I'm Braden Friedman.
And I'm Nicholas Elliott.
And this is the 4th and Goal Podcast signing off.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.